This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But don't forget right now, Odyssey Sports is giving listeners a chance to win an epic trip. It's a flyaway to Las Vegas for you and three friends, plus $20,000 spending cash for the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. Here's all you got to do. Download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen for 1 hour a day to 92.9 FM ESPN, and you're automatically entered for your chance to win. It's starting the year off right with the slam dunk in Las Vegas. Round trip airfare, 5-night stay at the Circa in Las Vegas. You can go see our friend Tim, as well as $5,000 spending cash for you and each of your friends, $20,000 in total. You can find out more at 92.9ESPN.com. But again, all you got to do is download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen for 1 hour per day. Dennis Fuller is producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is each and every Tuesday and Friday on the program, is the host of VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights, VSiN's college football and basketball betting podcast. Also, check out on Saturdays, VSiN's Betting Tailgate Show. Download the VSiN Watch app to stay up to date and watch all of the live programming from VSiN. He's on Twitter, on X, at @1TimMurray. Tim, good day, sir.
You know, I know you were off yesterday, so we survived the worst day in sports radio. The Monday after the NBA All-Star Game is as I predicted, I think, on Friday, the worst day of the sports radio calendar.
It's a bad one. I also think, though, it gets overvalued because truly some of the worst days in sports talk radio are like, I think, isn't the day right after the MLB All-Star Game, I think we don't have like any official sports going, but because all of the big names always take off June and July.
Yeah, everyone's on vacation. Then.
Right.
We get the big shots, you know, trying to fill airtime.
Correct. Whereas you and I, we have to work no matter what.
That is true. Now, I always contend, as someone who has worked in this industry, you know, I've thought about coaching Division I basketball at the same time, too, but I thought that might be too challenging. Hey, good win for old Gottlieb squad this weekend, snapping the nation's longest losing streak. But I always contend that the summer is the most fun time. Like that's when we get to be creative. That's when you get to earn your salary, so to speak. So I've always enjoyed the summer months. But
I've always thought the summer is when you find out who's really your audience, because if they're willing to stick through that, they're probably there for you no matter what. But yesterday was still eventful for me, Tim. I'd finally reached my breaking point. You know as well as anyone, ever since moving homes and losing DirecTV, it's been a struggle. For a while, I was doing DirecTV stream. During football season, I used some YouTube TV because that was helpful to put more games on screens. But on Saturday, in the midst of a lot of pretty good college basketball all day Saturday, yeah. Saturday was a pretty good college hoops day. I just was looking up at my TVs and just seeing error, 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 error. And like I just finally, I was like, I started thinking about it. Maybe I was inspired by the YouTube TV, Paramount Plus, whatever, Paramount dispute that they were having that they've tabled to try and get through the tournament to see where they're going to go. I've got my college fraternity little bro coming in town. He's moving from Oklahoma to North Carolina. And so basically he's sending his family ahead, and then he's going to drive to Memphis, and we're just going to watch basketball together for the entire weekend. And thinking of not having a solid plan was truly the least I could do for him. You know what I mean? Like, I had to make sure that we would have this solved. And so finally, I just called DirecTV up on Saturday. I was like, send me your best technician that you've got. We've got to figure this out. It's not like I wanted to cut the cord. I'm your people. I'm the dinosaur. Like, I love it. And so shout out yesterday to Brian, my DirecTV, my DirecTV tech, who's also a listener to all of the programming here. He got us hooked up. And Tim, I just spent like the first hour yesterday of just punching in random numbers on my controller, going to the channels that I know and love.
So you're back.
We're back.
Had you been out?
So I was on DirecTV stream.
Oh,
and okay. It's just not the same. And to everyone that like wants to like roll their eyes, whatnot. You ever been to a sports bar that's just streaming? Nah, they're hardwired in. And this is what I've always tried to explain to people. My house is basically a sports bar. If we don't have the games, my house is useless, and therefore I'm useless. And so it was just so fantastic. Even my wife, who I think at her core is probably a cord cutter, even she was just like, oh my God, it's back. Like, we were able to scroll through the, it's just having the controller with all the power in your hand. It was just so fantastic to be back. So shout outs to Brian yesterday for making it work. Also shout out to my wife for just ignoring. Now we have a satellite dish in a very inconvenient location, but regardless, we're back, baby. That's all that matters.
You're back and better than ever.
Back
I will
and
say,
better than ever.
I've only had DirecTV, and this was many moons ago. My first apartment, I was...
Oh, wow,
I
you never, can have it at an apartment.
Yeah. This was a shout-out to whatever apartment complex I lived in for about 3 months in Germantown, Maryland. And then we moved to a different apartment complex in Baltimore, and I remember calling up DirecTV and being like, yeah... You're not going to be able to put the dish up here. Like, well, let's see about that. The technician walks in and he's like, yep, can't do it here. I was like, thank you. And he's left. I was like, all right. So I haven't been back since. I am a YouTube TV-er. We had a couple moments there, but right now we're back. We're holding strong with the CBS situation. So as of now, I will still be holding strong to YouTube TV.
Yeah, so I originally, that was the problem, is that the original tech came up and he wasn't really a problem solver. I'm not saying that he was wrong, because when Brian came in yesterday, he's like, this is going to be a challenge. And he's like, I've been doing this for 30 something years. He's like, I'm going to figure it out, but I want you to know this is going to be a challenge. And I was like, I want you to know, I appreciate everything you do. I need you to fix this. Like, just figure out anything. So we kind of have like a deck that is designed to kind of basically, I think, cover up a tree that you can't really remove, because it would probably affect the foundation of the house. But we're back at it. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be more thrilled. Let's celebrate what we got coming up on the program. We're going to get into a eventful weekend of sports. Also coming up next segment, Howard Beck, longtime NBA writer. He had a tweet, or maybe a blue sky, that was quoted on tweet or quoted on X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X over the weekend, about Ja Morant and his future, and perhaps could he be the next star to move. So I wanted to discuss that with Tim, because it's one of those classic, you know, All-Star Weekend is kind of a convention for everyone at the NBA, and I think that's part of the reason why they won't really do away with it. And so it's one of those things that pops up at this time, but there's some things that I want to discuss about it. We'll get into the list. It's also franchise day. We also had the developments, the reports from Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports about the future of the college football playoff. We'll discuss that. Talk about some college hoops because we got another good slate tonight. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But normally, Tim, we would overreact on Monday, but since we didn't have a show, as you mentioned, on Monday, you did have a show on Monday. I think I actually wanted to start with college basketball before we get into the NBA. You ready?
Yeah, we should.
So I fired this on X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X, and I really do kind of believe it. Somehow Auburn is the number one team, the number one seed, and it feels like they're somehow underrated. I mean, we were getting points on Saturday. I took the money line, obviously. But there's just something, I don't understand why this team has the resume that they do, and yet we're just kind of, we're setting them aside. Is it almost like they're too good that we can't process it? Because it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I took Alabama on Saturday, and I think you're onto something where, look, basketball, college basketball has told us something. If you've been watching it or betting it for a long while, expect the unexpected. You know, I always say embrace the stink. So seeing that Alabama was a slight favorite, I was like, all right, I like the spot for Alabama. What I said on my show on Saturday leading into it was, I am worried about shooting regression because Alabama was nuclear from three against Texas on Tuesday night, and I was right because they did have regression. But I think the point that you make is a fair one, which is it feels like we're trying to find holes in this Auburn team, and they don't really have many. They went out to Maui in the brutal field that was. They played Iowa State. Now, we didn't know North Carolina would stink as much as they do, but they come back to beat Iowa State, they beat North Carolina, and then they beat Memphis, as we all know. They open the year beating Houston. They lose at Cameron, which is, you know, the second best team in the country. They beat Purdue. I mean, their resume is outrageous. Like, literally, it is outrageous. They have 14 quad one wins. The next closest is 8.
Yes.
What they have done through the best conference in college basketball, they did lose last Saturday to Florida. It is pretty impressive. And then you think about, too, they lose Janae Broome for a couple of games, and they don't lose. I believe the games that they won, if I remember correctly, I think they beat Mississippi State and Georgia without Broome in January. He came back in an ugly game. They beat Tennessee in a super ugly game, but he was back, not 100%. He came off the bench in that one, but I think it's fair to ask, you know, why aren't we giving this team enough love? Now, look, it's not like we're thinking they're absolute garbage, right? They're the number one team in the country. They're the betting favorite to win the national championship. But I think it is fair to ask, should we be giving them more love? Should this team be thought of in, you know, some of the rarefied air as one of the better teams we've ever seen in college basketball? Maybe they, you know, we need them to, you know, beat Florida. I don't know. I mean, this team going on the road and beating Alabama is as impressive as a result really we've seen all year, maybe outside of Florida going to Auburn and winning that game.
No, I mean, I just kind of feel like they should be getting the UConn treatment of the last 2 years, and they don't. And
now, remember, UConn 2 years ago was not getting that treatment. UConn last year, that's when we're like, okay, this team's a superpower. Like 2 years ago, by the time they got to the Final Four and they had just smashed, I think it was Arkansas in the Sweet 16 and then Gonzaga.
Yeah.
I think at that point it was like, okay, this team is not going to get beaten. And
they had that weird stretch in like January, early February of Big East play where they were not that good. But then they kind of flipped a switch. And then from that point forward, they were really dominant.
They lost 5 out of 6 games from New Year's Eve to January 18th, and actually 7 out of 9, if my math is correct. And then pretty much after that, they didn't lose. They lost to Creighton on the road in a spot that was just like as sexy as they come because just smashed Marquette. And then they lost the Big East championship game, and then
what it was Marquette again.
Yep, and then after that, and actually that was the semifinal, and then after that they rolled through the tournament.
Yeah. So again, like if we're saying that the league is this good, and they're
historically it is
like it's to me it's almost just like I don't know why we're not.
Joey Brackets today had, I think, 14 teams in from the SEC, which is not going to happen.
I think he had 13, and then someone was on the bubble, because I was looking it up, because I am curious to know. I think if you're one of those 12th or 13th or 14th SEC teams, I think they're going to be looking for reasons to not pick you. And like, I think you're going to have to make a convincing case, but I still feel pretty good that they're going to get at least, they're going to get at least 11. And I think if you were making me bet, I'd say they get at least 12.
Yeah, they need, I mean, right now, Joey Brackets, you're right, he had 13, and Georgia was among the first four out. He also has Arkansas in. I mean, the problem was, like, with a couple of these teams, like Vanderbilt and Arkansas and Georgia, they got to start getting wins, man. Like, you gotta start picking up the wins. Now, Arkansas's got the big win over Kentucky, but they lose this weekend to A&M. And then you look at their schedule remaining. It's Auburn on Wednesday on the road. They're going to be a massive dog there. You know, Missouri again. So these teams, I'll say this, if you gave me over under 12.5, I would take the under pretty comfortably. But yeah, probably 12. I mean, you know, not everybody, you know, Vanderbilt's probably going to lose a bunch more games. I mean, you look at their schedule, it's brutal. Yep. Right now, KenPom has Vanderbilt being an underdog in 5 of their final 6 games. If they go 1-5 in the regular season, they're not getting in the NCAA tournament at, you know, whatever they would be, 19-12 or something like that.
And then my other reaction from the weekend, we talked about it on Friday, like, what is the equivalent of Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
Memphis had the AAC's Valentine's Day, where, or the AAC, beg your pardon, schedule is Valentine's Day, because it was a game that, you know, it's the classic, it's a tough place to go. You're playing on a sleepy Sunday, and you let one get away that you probably shouldn't have. Like, I know a lot of people were focused on the final possession. I thought the game was lost before that. When they were up 4, they just have to get the ball in bounds, and they can't do it. And that allowed a team that really has not shot the ball well from 3 all year. They hit a couple of big ones, and then all of a sudden you find yourself on the wrong end of it. But I think this is kind of the larger problem with that Memphis faces. There are no such things as, like, context. It's just, man, that's a team that's losing on the road to a team in the 140s, and here you go, bump down a seed line.
Yep. I mean, right now, if you look at bracket matrix, it's kind of 6 or 7.
Yeah,
probably lowest 6, highest 7. And yeah, I mean, it's tough. And I think you hit the nail on the head on Friday with this conference. This conference stinks. It's not good. And all you could do is really hurt yourself. And they hurt themselves. And, you know, when you're the big dog, you're the big fish, you're going to go on the road and you're going to get the best from Temple. You're going to get the best from Wichita. And now they have their third quad 3 loss. So we know how good this team can be. I'm sure Memphis fans are frustrated. You lose that game as, you know, a 7-8 point favorite. But, you know, that's always the tricky part. I just started watching the USA doc,
yeah,
the Olympic doc. Better than I anticipated so far. I've watched the first episode plus. Pretty good. But the point Steve Kerr said, which was, you know, his buddies would tell him, you're going to be the coach of Team USA? It's like, if you win, you get no credit, and if you lose, you're the worst coach in the world. And that's not what Memphis is. You can lose the AAC game. That's fine. But they get no credit for winning AAC games, and they get dinged heavily when they lose these AAC games. So, look, this is a team that obviously is going to make the NCAA tournament. Hopefully they bounce back with, you know, vengeance on Sunday with a full week to prepare for FAU. You look at the remaining schedule, they'll be a significant favorite in every single game. At UAB could be tricky a week from Sunday. But, yeah, you hit it on Friday, and that was the first thing I thought of when I was watching that game on Sunday. I was like, wow, yeah, Jeffrey hit this one, because this is a no-win, you know, big-time-lose situation where you're going on the road against, you know, from a metric standpoint, probably one of the better teams in the conference, even though the rankings or the record isn't necessarily there. I think per KenPom, they're the 5th best team in the conference, but their record isn't there. And, you know, you go there and you stumble. So they got to bounce back and try to fight and scratch and claw to get it back up to the 6th line to avoid, you know, a 7 seed. By the way, I was looking at Joey Brackets today. How about a UConn-Duke second round matchup?
Well, I mean, that's kind of the other thing, is like, you look at it, and I mean, we have some unbelievable teams. Like, it's kind of jarring to see them on like the seed lines that we're seeing. It's like UConn as an 8, Gonzaga as a 9, Baylor,
Creighton as an 8,
yeah,
Baylor as an 8, as you alluded to. I mean, there's going the second round, and I think I hit on this last week, which I know every year when we get the bracket in our hands, we're like, oh man, what a brutal bracket this is. But I think there's going to be a 1 seed, and it happens almost every year. But if you gave me a line right now of over under 1.5, 1 and 2 seeds that get knocked out the first weekend, I would absolutely take the over. Because if you're looking at sevens of Memphis, Louisville, Clemson, Creighton, UConn, Baylor, Gonzaga, you know, that's 7 to 9 range. Like, good God, man, that's pretty brutal.
Well, then you start to look at like some of the teams that could be like those type 2 seeds that we're talking about. Like A&M, they are a dreadful shooting team. Like, they depend on second and third chances. But if you're a team that can shoot the basketball against them, like, that could be a team that's very vulnerable as a 2 seed. Same thing kind of holds true.
Like, what if
Tennessee.
We got a Houston? What if we got a Houston Gonzaga second round matchup?
Oh boy, the ultimate Styles makes fight.
I know, right? You get this team in Houston that just wants to punch you in the mouth and play good defense, but they can struggle mightily from outside. And then you get Gonzaga, if they're hot on the right day, they could beat you by 40 points. Like, that would be. I think Gonzaga is going to be one of those teams that, if they don't trip up in their first round game, which they very well could, because this is a team that is not your vintage Gonzaga. This is a Gonzaga that, lost to Oregon State on the road, that lost at home to St. Mary's. But this is a team that I think if they, with the offensive firepower that they have and an elite guard in Nembhard and a pretty good big, the kid from Wyoming, whose name is escaping me right now, They could be a really dangerous team. So, yeah, I mean, a lot still to come. We're still, a month out from Selection Sunday. But, yeah, they're, Memphis being a 7 seed. I tell you what, you think there's any 2 seed that would want to see Memphis with those guards in the second round? Hell no, man.
Well, no. I mean, like, that's the other thing. Also, I don't know if you stayed
Graham up. Graham EK, by the way. That was his name.
Did you stay up late for hashtag Fade the Waves?
they gave us
multiple opportunities. So
they gave your Gonzaga showed.
I think
showed,
I think Gonzaga was
one.
Laying 26 at game. They were up 29 at half, and I'm texting the syndicate. We don't have enough. We need to hammer the second half again. They get beat by 52. Mark Few's kid played like the final 7 minutes of the game and was like scoring. it was truly something to behold. All right, so my other overreaction from the weekend. I think we've hit the critical mass of the All-Star Game weekend, and it hammers home the point that I feel like I was making on Friday. I don't fault people for trying to think up formats and whatnot. It still just harps back to the main problem. If they're not going to take it seriously, it doesn't matter what format you come up with. And the thing that I thought was ironic is, now you're starting to get defenders of the league now saying, well, big problem is the NBA on TNT crew, they just crap on the game. Well, what do you say when Draymond is sitting up there and just crapping on the state of the game? Like, he's in it right now. And so I know it's fun to like have your preconceived point and just want to point to it and look for other pieces of evidence. But it's the format was confusing. Then we get a lot of Kevin Hart, which was also okay. Like, I like Kevin Hart as much as the next guy, but it's like, I didn't know that we needed the buffet helping of him. You couldn't really figure out, like, there was too much downtime in between the games. Like, I just think that it's time to maybe embrace. It's like, okay, this is just like a corporate event, and it's designed for maybe 12-year-olds, and we just need to accept, like, we're not going to figure out a format.
I never really had, and I know, I think I saw the quotes coming out about Adam Silver, and he's obsessed with like tournaments, like the in-season thing, the play-in thing. And I actually like the play-in tournament. I mean, I know there are teams that have had their gripes for years, but I think it's added a unique element and a college basketball element where you're watching a one-and-done type of atmosphere. We've had some pretty good games, so I'm cool with that. The in-season tournament's never really done it for me, but whatever. We overanalyze this damn All-Star game so much, and I think a lot of it has to do, and I said this on Friday, with where it is in the calendar. It's the week after the Super Bowl, and now we're starving for hot takes, and it's like, okay, let's focus on this. The All-Star game stunk for like 2.5 decades, like probably even longer. I've never had an issue with the greatest athletes in the world shooting a ton of threes and throwing down some dunks and not playing a lot of defense. Like, it's never really bothered me. It's good background noise. I don't need to see a bunch of, you know, and I know Zach Edey was a part of it, but I don't need to see these dudes playing on Sunday. Their day's Friday. Like, they can play in their Rising Stars game or whatever. I don't need Jalen Wells and Stephon Castle playing Kevin Durant. I want to see the biggest names in the damn game shooting threes and throwing down dunks. I'm cool with it. Like, it's not a big issue for me. And the funny thing is you kind of encapsulate the whole weekend. What do we say on Friday about the dunk contest? We're like, just get some dudes from YouTube. And I texted you this on Saturday night.
So I got a new phone, and I didn't see this until later, but I would have responded because I agree with your point.
Mac McClung is a YouTube dunker. He's not in the NBA. Like, and he's awesome. Cool. Like, bring out a bunch of randos that do this. You know, bring out the history teacher that's a YouTube dunker. Like, that's, I'm fine with it. Unless, you know, and, you know, it's always funny because I saw Jaws tweet, and I'm sure it's been talked about here on the network. And I know Giannis hasn't said something, and Zach LaVine as well. Yeah, they say it now. In 363 days, they could be like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to be part of that.
I'm pretty sure they say it every year. And I also think, because Calkins and I were talking about it this morning, and I think that there's probably an element of this where, okay, the line kept getting, the envelope kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And so now, do I want Ja Morant sitting around during free time figuring out how to dunk over a Kia? Not really. Like, and so
he's been banged up enough.
Correct. And it's like, okay, when all the big names started realizing, like, okay, it's not just jumping from the free throw line anymore. It's, you know, it's, everybody's seen what there is. It's cool. And it's like, okay, show me something new. And so you're kind of in a no-win situation. And then the types of dunks that we're talking about are like high risk, high level of injury. And I just think that, like, you're never going to, that's not going to appeal to the big names, because honestly, I don't know if I want it appealing to the big names. So at least just accept it and say, like, okay, let's just try to give you the best dunkers we can. But, like, honestly, like, All-Star Saturday night, like, it's like I can live without it. I mean, I think the larger question I had is, like, Adam Silver, it's like, okay, we had the, we can't go to Indianapolis again. Look at how many, there wasn't enough restaurants, there wasn't enough to do. Like, okay, you put it in San Francisco. Like, what's your complaint now? And you can't even get Steph to do it in his hometown. It's like, are we just implicitly admitting we don't really care about this? So maybe stop trying to make it the biggest thing in the world. I think that's kind of where the pushback is.
Well, the creme de la creme, the coup de grace of takes was Sunday when LeBron said, yeah, I'm not going to play in this thing. And first off, we'll get to that here in a moment. But a buddy of mine who is in the same line of work had just been, you know, encapsulated and enamored by what we saw on Saturday night from USA versus Canada, as I was. It was awesome, right? The intensity up there in Montreal, the three fights in 9 seconds, all of that. And the immediate take was, huh, don't tell that to the NHL, man. I'm like, you do know that they just did this same dumbass idea a year ago, which was this, like, teams in their divisions versus each other. We're getting, like, the perfect storm right here. The United States and Canada in hockey are going to play again on Thursday, and it's going to be exciting, and I'm going to be fired up to watch it. They had not played each other in 11 years.
Yeah.
In this setting. And then LeBron at 40 years old, timing, yeah, not ideal, and you can gripe with that. He decides, yeah, I'm averaging 24-9-8 in my 21st season, and I'm 40. I'm not going to play in this stupid thing. Okay. And then, yeah, don't tell that to the hockey players. I'm like, didn't this same 40-year-old dude just go to Paris and yes. play for Team USA and win a gold medal and was MVP of the Olympics? Like, how quickly we forget. Like, this dude and Steph and Kevin Durant, at their advanced ages, all went and played for Team USA against France, Serbia, you know, Greece. Canada, Greece, whoever. Like, they just spent 3 extra weeks playing together for the ultimate glory of winning a gold medal. But because this made-up tournament that's going on in the NHL, which has been very exciting to watch, and I've enjoyed every second of it. Oh, by the way, like 4 dudes from Team USA have gotten hurt, and their teams are probably beyond pissed.
I mean, the reigning Stanley Cup MVP is hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think he's going to play on Thursday, but he's hurt.
Shea Theodore, who plays for the Vegas Golden Knights, yeah. he's going to be out like a month. Like, it's been great, but guess what? If they ran this back next year, and I know it's the Olympics next year, but for argument's sake, if they ran the four nations whatever face-off next year, it wouldn't have the same buzz. It's the first year. So as great and as successful as this has been, and we got that, you know, the passion that was there on Saturday night, it's not going to be duplicated, right? These guys hadn't played each other in over a decade. There was a lot of, you know, honor about it. And Steph, LeBron, and KD, and, you know, everybody else was a part of the Olympics just like 6 months ago. So, once again, it was this perfect storm of just, I've got to make a hot take on Sunday night. It was LeBron sitting out. I got a take said that LeBron has ruined the NBA. I'm like, oh, my Lord. Like, okay. Like, I get it. A lot of people don't like LeBron. You're a Jordan stan. That's fine. Him sitting out an All-Star game that you didn't enjoy watching is not ruining the NBA. I'm sorry.
Well, I think the other problem, like, when I think about it, like, okay, like, let's say that, because the NHL ran into the same problem where no one cared about their All-Star game, and so they started doing the same thing.
And this is, by the way, this has been, I don't know if it was Gary Bettman or whoever came up with this idea, it's been a grand slam. It's been perfect. You get that game on Saturday night on, I think it was on ABC. Like, it was perfect timing. You get the fight. You get the excitement. You're going to get it again on Thursday night.
Don't forget, you got the deafening silence of the Bell Center.
Oh, yeah. It was quiet. And then, yeah, I mean, it has been a spectacular success, and I don't want to take anything away from it, and I've enjoyed it, but we quickly forget that the United States-France gold medal game on that Sunday afternoon was like the most watched basketball game we've had in a long, long time, right? And LeBron was a part of it. Kevin Durant was a part of it. Steph Curry had his, you know, nuclear performance in the fourth quarter. Guess what? I'd rather have that 3 million times than what, you know, we're supposed to see on All-Star Weekend.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the larger point, is that you recognize now, I don't know if certain leagues, if they get kind of backed into it, but it's like, okay, whether or not college basketball wanted to accept it, they understood we have March. We have these 3 consecutive weekends in March, and that's our event, and we own it.
They're trying to ruin with more teams.
But, like, the NFL even recognized, okay, the Pro Bowl is just not a thing anymore. Like, we're going to just punt on it. Now, it helped that it's in between the playoffs and the Super Bowl. And then the other thing that works in their favor is the Super Bowl's become like a convention. It's the corporate thing that they want. And where the NBA struggles is they don't have, because the finals are always going to be at team locations. Like, you're going to play in a 7-game series, someone's getting 4 home games, someone's getting 3. And so you can't make it like a destination of everyone assembles here and we're going to, you know, see the corporate people and we're going to take care of our partners, whatnot. So the problem is they're kind of like caught in between release patterns where they want to still make this a convention, if you will, but now the centerpiece of the convention is going the way of a lot of things that we see in sports. And it's one of, like that's kind of the other thing I was thinking about. It's like,
the other reason why it kind of works in hockey is the international aspect of the game is more embedded and it's deeper in junior hockey, whatnot. Like,
yeah,
for the most part, I'm not saying like over in Europe, it's not a big deal, but it's like, you don't dream of playing for Team USA. You dream of winning an NBA championship. You dream of winning a college basketball championship. Like, international basketball at the youth level is not what is ingrained into our system. It is in hockey. And so I just always have felt like, even though it's fun to watch and be cool to see it recreated, like you said, we do get to see it recreated every 4 years. Like, we've even had this struggle when they wanted to make the FIBA World Championship a bigger deal. None of the big guys wanted to play. And so it's just, I just don't know if it's repeatable. And maybe not all things like have to be, well, we've got to have that, we got to have this. And it's like, maybe we just got to sit there and acknowledge, like, all right, this is kind of where it's going. It's not fun. Maybe it's something for kids. But like the playoffs, like, we can look forward to that.
Yeah. And so I don't know if it's fixable. And it just doesn't bother me. And guess what? When we expand the NFL season, they're going to have to figure out a time in the calendar to put this thing. Because maybe it'll be... And also, too, like, it's hard. Let's look at, you know, who was playing over the weekend, right? And you made this point about Ja in the dunk contest. Like, as a Memphis Grizzly fan, you don't want to see Ja jumping over cars, right?
No.
And if you're a contending team, if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, do you want to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out there busting his butt? No. You want to see him chilling. I'd rather him be in a, you know, whatever they're called, the chamber.
Hyperbaric chamber.
Yeah, like the whole week. I don't want to see that. So that's the tricky part about the All-Star game, where I recognize it's supposed to be, you know, something that showcases the sport. But to your point, the Olympics did that. The playoffs do that. Christmas Day, until the NFL decided to play a couple of games on there, tends to do that. I've never really been bugged and bothered by the All-Star game. And actually, when it's West versus East and they're just, you know, throwing down dunks and shooting threes, honestly, let's make it Rock and Jock style. Put out like a 5-point line. Let's make it a little weird. You know, let's do it that way. You know, see where Steph Curry can hit threes from and see if he can get a 6-pointer. I don't know. Like, that would be more fun to me than, you know, seeing some random dudes that I don't care about playing Kevin Durant and Damian Lillard on Sunday night.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we had a post over on social media from Howard Beck, longtime NBA writer. Let's talk about that as it pertains to Ja Morant's future. We'll do that next right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports has reported on changes coming to the 2026 college football playoff. We'll talk about that and more when we get into the list, but welcome back, Tim, to the program. And, Tim, this was a report that was catching a little bit of fire, I guess, over the weekend. This was over on X. NBA executive believes the Grizzlies could potentially look to move Ja Morant this summer, according to Howard Beck. And here is what Howard put on socials. Quote, I'm constantly checking in with executives around the trade deadline about, like, okay, what we saw, what we didn't see, what's next. And in the league, you're always on the lookout for who's the next wave of stars that are going to get dealt, right? Somebody out of the blue said, keep an eye on Ja this summer. I'm saying it's one of these things, it's one of those things that I'm just keeping an eye on if they were to flame out early. So there's a couple of things there. Number one, Ja's age would kind of fit into the Luka, shockwaves. The young guy gets moved. Okay. I think, though, the thing that everyone's missing is part of that is it's dependent on how they do this postseason. And this is where I think it's actually interesting for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies could potentially wind up being, anywhere from, I think, really 2 to 4 seed. And if they were to get bounced in the first round again, that would likely mean the Grizzlies getting bounced in the first round as the higher seed. And typically, that is where either you're going to see a coaching change, but you're going to see some type of roster shakeup. But this is why I'm not putting a lot of stock into it. And I'm not really discounting what Howard said, because Howard's not even really reporting. Howard's really quoting what one executive told him. And I think there's one important piece of information that I know Memphians know, but I don't know if like the general NBA cognoscenti know. Ja, over the summer, switched agents, and he is now with Mike Miller. Mike Miller still lives in Memphis, and in fact, he could live.
Mike Miller's an agent?
Yes, he has become an agent.
Really?
Yes. I think he's got Paolo. He has a lot of the Duke guys that were early in. So Mike has become an agent, and Mike could live anywhere he wants in the world. He lives here. And like even after he got traded again, like he moved back here, he lives here. So I don't think that's a negative for the Grizzlies. What I don't foresee happening is a situation where Ja says, I want out. Like, I just don't think that's happening. So the only possibility where I can entertain this, and I'm willing to intellectually entertain it, is if the Grizzlies decide to move on. And the question would be, okay, why? So if you look at it in these terms,
All right, Ja's rookie year, he plays 67 out of 73 games because that was the COVID season that finished in the bubble. 67 out of 73. The next season, which was that weird, we're back in arenas, but they're half full, and some, you know, that was back in the days of some states were letting more people in and whatnot. Ja plays 63 of 82 regular season games, and he plays in all five postseason games. They played Utah in five. The next season, 57 of 82 games in the regular season, played 9 of 12 in the postseason. 22-23, 61 of 82 games, included in that is the 8-game suspension from the Shotgun Willie's incident. He played in 5 of 6 of the postseason games. Last season, 9 of 82 regular season games, that includes the 25-game suspension to start the season, and then season-ending labrum injury or labrum surgery that ended his season. This season, the Grizzlies have played 54 games. Ja has played in 32 of them. The only way that I see the Grizzlies entertaining this is not from a we want to be out of the Ja business, but from the perspective of can we count on him that he's going to be on the floor? And if that is your position, that you're going to put a Ja Morant on the market, you're already kind of acknowledging you're hurting your own leverage. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even saying like this is Nico negotiating with Rob Pelinka and getting the worst deal possible. I'm not really entertaining it, because I think for better or worse, the Grizzlies know, even if they were to get bounced, like let's say the Grizzlies and Clippers match up in a 3-6 and it's a bad matchup for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies get bounced in the first round. All right, that's entirely within the realm of possibility. I still don't think the answer is going to be we're moving Ja Morant. I think the answer will be if we do anything organizationally, maybe you move on from the coach. But I still am a little bit more skeptical than that, because there's not like the ready-made coach out there to bring in. And this organization kind of like enjoys the head coach in the front office, let's just say, working together collaboratively. And so I'm just not really putting stock in it. This to me feels like something where an exec that kind of understands the landscape's like, well, what about the Grizzlies? What are they going to do? But I just don't think that this is in anywhere near the realm of possibility this offseason. Like, could you talk me into maybe 3 or 4 years down the line? Maybe we're having that conversation, but I would be pretty surprised if this happens this summer.
To me, it feels like, and you know, full disclosure, I'm the outsider here in this discussion.
Right.
But to me, it feels like we just saw a generational superstar get traded out of thin air. Like, nobody knew and had any expectations of Luka getting traded. And it feels like because that happened, there's a thought process of like, well, who else could get traded? You know, Ja's 25 and he's dealt with some injuries and a couple off the field, off the court situations.
Yep.
It just, unless, and I think the point that you made initially is unless Ja wants out, if he wants to be in Memphis, he's going to remain in Memphis. And I'm not going to say we're never going to see it again, because sports always surprises us. But like, things like the Luka trade just never happened.
There's a reason why you and I were racking our brains. Like,
it was the most shocking transaction, I think, in the history of sports.
It was so shocking that the person that reported the trade had to say, I'm not hacked, this is real. And then, because still people are like, well, isn't that exactly what, if you were the hacker, what you would say too? Well, then you had to have like Bobby Marks come in and be like, no, this is happening. Like, that's how shocking it was.
So could the Memphis Grizzlies, in theory, get a massive haul and probably much better than what the Dallas Mavericks got for Luka? Yeah, I guess it's possible. But at the end of the day, and you could speak to this much more than I can, like, Memphis hasn't been the franchise that's going to attract massive.
Well, we saw it at the deadline. I mean,
Jimmy Butler said, I'm not going there, right?
Yeah, like
that's probably a good situation more so for Memphis.
Right, but I mean, that's also, like, he also said he wasn't going to Milwaukee. Like, that's the other thing. Butler wasn't going anywhere he couldn't get an extension, but it does apply to Kevin Durant.
Like, the Grizzlies are a better chance. He has a better chance of winning at a higher level right now with the Grizzlies than he does in Phoenix, and he said no.
The Memphis Grizzlies, as you also pointed out, and all your listeners know, are the second-best team in the Western Conference right now.
Correct.
They were the second-best team in the Western Conference 2 years ago.
And the year before that.
So, Ja Morant's 25 years old. He, if he stays healthy, which I know is a big if, is a superstar, and they just don't grow on trees, and you're not going to trade a guy like Ja Morant unless he wants out, which, as you pointed out, there has been no indication that he wants to, which, once again, going back to the Luka trade, Luka has quickly dispelled that, be like, I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay in Dallas. That's why that transaction remains as shocking as any transaction, I truly believe, in sports. And because we saw that, it feels like it opens the door of like, hey, who else could possibly be traded? And like, to your point, Howard Beck, you know, from his appearances on the Low Post, like, he's a very well-respected guy. And, you know, it's not surprising that you would hear something like that, but it's just, it doesn't happen. Well, 25-year-olds under contract that are, you know, rising stars for teams that are successful, like Memphis, this doesn't make sense.
I guess this is kind of the bigger problem that I have. Like, I don't even care that, hey, it's about a guy that I cover. I still feel like an NBA problem is it is way more fascinating to talk about where guys are going to play than the games that they play.
That is 100% accurate, because I feel like the week of the Super Bowl was stolen. Not stolen is strong.
They certainly dominated it.
Dominated is a better way to look at it.
Like, I don't think it was orchestrated in the sense of like the league going, hey, we need you to hold off on this trade till Super Bowl week. I know you don't believe that either. Neither one of us believe it. But it's undeniable that dominated the conversation of that week.
Like, Luka gets traded to the Lakers. AD goes to the Mavericks. Jimmy Butler goes to the Golden State Warriors. You're seeing notable names and personalities that we know get traded. And that is a bit of an issue for the NBA, because the soap opera aspect of the league is more appealing and better for talk shows like, you know, ESPN and FS1 than actually to break down the game and, you know, why a particular team won. They'd much rather the drama. And that's why, you know, NBA free agency for a number of years has been so appealing, is you know these guys that are on the move. And the drama aspect of the NBA has been much more appealing to the casual fan than the X's and O's nerdery has been.
Why do you think it seems specific to the NBA? Because I guess we do it, like, we'll talk about it a little bit during the list. We do it a little with quarterbacks.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, that whole saga, yep, like, was like 3 months of just nonstop. Where's he going to go? Is he going to come back? You know, I mean, it was actually multiple years. It kind of, I don't know if it started with Favre, but Favre kind of like really got it rolling. I mean, it was like three straight summers. Is he going to retire? Is he going to show up to camp?
But Bus Cook showed up in Hattiesburg.
Yeah.
But like, it does seem it's unique to the NBA. Like, even if we have guys.
Is it because it's a players driven league? And the personalities that are in there are so, I mean, we've got big personalities in the NFL, but at the end of the day, the shield is stronger than the players. And in the NBA, I don't know if that's true. Like, the NBA is a personality-driven league, and the soap opera aspect of it has kind of taken over and has led to, I don't know if it's
necessarily the personalities, but I think maybe this is what it is, because it, personalities, it's like, okay, that can impact like social media and conversation, like what you're talking about with debate shows and whatnot. I think maybe what it is the NBA is the only sport where your best players are playing both ways, and all it takes is really a couple of guys to like straight up change the trajectory of a team. Like, even in baseball, like, okay, if Mike Trout's, you know, just, you know, dwindling away in Anaheim.
Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani were on the same team and they didn't make the playoffs.
Correct.
So that's
and one of those guys was pitching and hitting.
Right. One of those guys was maybe the greatest hitter we'd ever seen, and then the other was Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
And they couldn't make the playoffs. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, and once again, I think the listeners to this program and to this station are in it for the X's and O's because the Grizzlies are good. And on a night in and night basis, you're like, all right, this is awesome. But I think when you take a step back and, you know, what draws the eyeball, that's why I think there's a weird correlation of from a, you know, and once again, I'm not trying to compare what is said on First Take to what is actually matters. But that's why there's a weird disconnect to what drives those shows and where the television ratings are, right? The NBA television ratings have been on a bit of a decline, but from a talking standpoint, from a social media standpoint, it feels like it's never been bigger as a league. So there's a weird disconnect from a game standpoint, especially in the regular season, to, you know, talking about these things. And that's why I think also why these All-Star games are such a polarizing topic.
Yeah, I think I've decided with the ratings talk, I want to see playoff numbers, because even the NFL was impacted by the election. Like, we saw even NFL numbers went down like 2%. Now, is that really that big of a deal? Whereas the NBA, the entirety of the league so far has been encapsulated by, was, you know, the start of the season, the numbers everyone was pointing to was election driven. So it's like, all right, get me to the playoffs, because I still think that could be a fairly noisy number.
Also, why do we care about ratings? I mean, I know why we care about them on this like radio
right,
show.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. But like
you and I care about it because there's a financial impact for
us. Of course. Right. Yeah. For a radio show, television show, what I do at VSiN, what you do here, like that makes sense.
Right.
Understandably so.
Why does the general public care? I think it's to hammer home whatever point you want to make.
And because everything is tweaked, right? Because I remember after, if I remember correctly, Notre Dame, Ohio State, they come out with the rating and it's like, oh, underwhelming rating. And then I see another tweet, it's like, greatest rating ever. You know, it's like, wait, what? Well, what's right? What's wrong? I don't know.
Well, it's you have to separate the ESPN PR ratings number, because that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.